Hello everyone, I am Lord Bartex, and this is my AMA, also known as Ask Me Anything. So when I originally signed up to get my round at the AMA, I did not expect to receive the amount of questions that I did. And I am very grateful to everyone who took a bit of time out of their day to ask silly questions, good questions, deep questions, whatever. I appreciate every single one. So thank you so much. You all know who you are. Well, let's get to it, shall we? Okay, first one up. By the way, I have tried to organize the questions in the order that they were asked. Unfortunately, I didn't do that in time, so I'm not entirely sure that the order is 100% correct. These days, I can only tell how many days it has been since the questions were posted. I can't see, you know, what the hour count or whatever. So if the order is wrong, then I apologize. Okay, let's get to it. The first one is the Canadian Viking 88. Hello, sir, how are you? Thank you so much for taking part in my AMA, or actually for asking me these questions. The Canadian Viking 88 has decided to ask two serious questions and then three silly questions, so that will be interesting. The first serious question is a really good one, actually, and it goes, what sparked your interest in joining GWA? Now, this is a huge question in a way. And I will try to make it as brief as possible, because not all stories that are long are interesting to listen to. So why did I join GWA in the first place? Originally, when I was signed up for a forum online that dealt with erotic content, mostly in written form. There were a very, very tiny section about audios, and that intrigued me. But I never really thought anything special about it, other than it intrigued me, and I found some really good audios there as well. So after a while, I more or less left that place. And I drifted around online. And eventually, for some reason, I decided to see if this erotic audio, if that was actually a thing online. I thought it was really, you know, a very small, almost non-existent hobby or thing or whatever you want to call it. And that led me to Soundgasm, a place that most of you probably know, and most of you probably also have an account there as well. And I found some really, really good audios there as well. I found some users that are still active today, actually, and some users that sadly are not anymore. And that kind of became my introduction to GWA as well. Because there were a lot of terms and slang, almost, that were used. Not that there's any sort of communication going on Soundgasm, but in the notes that sometimes follows with the audios, that can reveal much, actually. And I saw GWA and Conwell Audio, I think, as well, as a name. I saw that mentioned a couple of times, and that made me curious. So I decided to find out what it was. Then I did a bit of Googling, probably. Probably not that much, because it most likely pops up the first instant you search for it. And that more or less brought me to GWA. And I think it took me a while to even consider signing up. And originally, when I decided to go for it, it also meant that I had to create a Reddit account, because I did not have a Reddit account at the time. So when I joined GWA, I also joined Reddit. And my primary goal was more or less to continue what I had started at that other site that I had frequented for a while, namely to write and to write scripts that I hoped someone would fill. And so the main reason was actually that I found, much like I think most people, that audios have a very interesting quality to them. Erotic audios have a very interesting quality to them, in that they challenge you. There are a lot of very basic things that you can go by in an audio, but there are also requirements for your own enjoyment that you have to play into the fantasy, and you have to give the audio a chance as well, because audios can develop right in front of you, more or less. And I liked that aspect, and I also liked that there was a sense of community when I joined GWA, and sadly I didn't really dabble into that at the time. It was something that came later. I think that more or less actually answers the question of why. I'm not going to go into a lot of details about that, because that is not what you ask. So yeah. And then question number two, the next and final serious question. Are there any audios that you are particularly proud of? And why? For me, it is an achievement whenever I create an audio that is good enough to be shared online. But and I think that actually goes for a lot of us, in a way, especially when we are not that experienced. To me, the audio that I am probably the most proud of is period comfort audio that I created sometime last year. And it was a request, and when I decided to do the request, I reached out to the person who had posted the request. And from that point on, the person in question was very, very open and very, very honest about the whole topic. And I really sought to create an audio that could be enjoyed by many different people suffering in their period. But also something that felt a bit more personal to the person who had requested it, because there were some very specific pointers in that. And I ended up with this, I feel, really, really nice audio. And the reception was also quite good, and still is. I got a comment on it not so long ago, actually. And that makes me happy, because I know it is... I know from, you know, having females in my family, and you know, just again generally hearing about it from people, that it can be a huge struggle. So to me, if I can If that audio can bring just a small amount of peace and quiet and a sense of comfort, that is just great. And something else that I'm proud of in that was that, as I mentioned, I had a really, really good working relationship with the person who requested it, which is not always the case. But to me, it's just nice that there was a response. And it ended up with this great audio. So yeah, that is one of the audios that I'm most proud of. In general, I'm really happy about my Pillar Talk stuff, but that's probably because that is what I have done the most. And yeah. And now for the silly questions, the questions you have all been waiting for. The first one goes, is this the Krusty Krab? And, no, I guess. I guess this would be the perfect moment for me to do some sort of SpongeBob SquarePants parody. I think there's a leading question hidden in that, but I'm sorry, I can't do anything like that. I can tell you that my favorite character on the show is Squidward, and I am quite like him at times. That is really the best answer I can give you on that. So, let's move on to the next. What is the meaning of life, and why does everyone keep saying it is 42? Again, I don't know. And honestly, I did not understand the reference because I haven't read the book that it's from. I had to look it up. So no, I don't know why. I can say that the meaning of life, since it is a silly question, I will not answer it in a serious way. So I would say that the meaning of life is pancakes. Because that is the first thing that came to mind. Pancakes all the way. And that is probably, and the reason why people say it's 42 is that you have to eat 42 pancakes, and then you will discover the meaning of life. And question number 3. Did you find my socks? Well, the funny way to answer that would be, no, I didn't, and that sucks. Bad, bad jokes all around. Well, thank you very, very much, the Canadian Viking 88. I like that 88, by the way. I like the username in general, but 88. I wonder if that is a birth year or something, because then it is a good year. Okay, thank you so much. Moving on to the next. Captain Jericho. I guess that is the correct way to pronounce your name. I don't think you want me to say CPT Jericho, so I'll say Captain Jericho. Okay, and you're always good for a few interesting questions. So, question number 1 from Captain Jericho. Do you think you'll ever consider putting yourself forward for an AMA, so we can ask you questions? Oh, I'm having some real issues with this question. I think it's very personal. I mean, I am not. I'm very shy, actually. So I'm not really one to answer everything about myself. I think perhaps one day when I have been posting audios for 10 years. And I don't have anything else to do, then I will most likely sign up for the AMA show. How about that? Question number 2. Is it daunting being one of the few GWA contributors that don't just read from ancient Mesopotamian stone tablets for ramble fabs? I guess it is, but I mean, I haven't really ascended to that point yet. I haven't even done a ramble fair, but that's a complete different detail. So, I think it's real style to do that. I mean, when you reach the point where you have to look for that kind of material, then you rock big time. And then you have seen and done it all, more or less. I think I would start out with a manual, a manual for kitchen gear or something like that, and then I would improve. I would really do my best to improve, so I can move on to a dictionary, and then eventually I would reach the stone tablets, but it will take a while for me. Question number three. How much corned beef do you celebrate a new official year with? None, I suppose. I don't eat that much corned beef, actually. Question number four. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Well, Captain Jericho, I think I'm thinking what you're thinking, but that may just be a silly thought after all. Who would have thought it? Hmm. And the fifth and final question. Shall we meet up and have a dance-off for our family's honor? I think we should. We most definitely should. It would be interesting, but I have one thing that I want to get, a detail that I want to be in effect as well. If you and I are gonna have a dance-off, then I would require several, if not all, GWA members to witness it. We would need a very large crowd, a ring of people to stand around us while we have this epic dance-off. And then we could branch out and make it a dance-off for other people as well. I think that would be cozy. Captain Jericho, thank you so much for asking these hilarious and quite interesting questions as well. It was a pleasure to answer them. And the next one is Catgirl Detective, who sadly is no longer a part of the community. She is gone. I have decided to answer her questions anyway. She was a really great member of the community. I think she was, and she did some incredible scripts. I never got the chance to actually do one of her scripts, but who knows, maybe one day. So, Catgirl Detective asked five questions, and the first one is, what is something that has made you happy today? Well, when I record this, it is Sunday, and I had a work weekend. So the normal and most basic answer to that would be, I am happy that I'm home from work right now. But actually, there was something else earlier today that made me happy, and that was the fact that the sun was shining. It was a very, very lovely day, weather-wise. And it had that touch of early spring to it that I really enjoy. And after a winter, it is just incredible to walk outside and feel this. Yeah, there's just spring in the air, and the sun is, it's warm, and the sky is blue. You finally see all the green that is coming back. And yeah, and that made me incredibly happy. So yeah, that is, and it's pretty basic, but I mean, even the small things in life count. What is your favorite dessert? I know that another user asked this question, so I will save it for later. Question number three. As a lord... I knew that title would come back to haunt me again and again and again. As a lord, what is your opinion on feudalism in medieval Europe? The serious answer would be that, to me, feudalism is... It isn't a very good thing in general. I mean, the idea is not very nice, and that you have this system of lords and landowners, more or less, that keep sort of slaves, more or less, to deal with their land in this very, very uneven symbiose of survival. And that is a bad thing. Unfortunately, I don't really see how history could have made it different. I think it is, in the end, history is really just our travel from back then to today. And sure, we can change things, and people could have changed it, but as we know, and history showed us, back in the day, if you changed something, it was usually through bloodshed and violence. So yeah, I think it is a period of our history that is really interesting, but it's also a quite dark part of our history as well. Question number four. Why were your fingerprints found on a cup in Mr. Johnson's apartment just days before his eventual murder? I love this question, and I love it just because it allows me to say, elementary, my dear catgirl detective. Mr. Johnson's housekeeper came to my door and asked to borrow a cup of sugar. And since it is my cup, that is why there were found fingerprints on it. Why the sugar turned out to be poison, you would have to ask the housekeeper about that, because I have no idea why. And the fifth and final question from Catgirl Detective goes like this. What is the type of audio you'd like to create that you haven't done before? I think by this point, I have done quite a few different types of scripts and audios. And yet I also feel like I have only just scratched the surface of what is possible for me to do. I want to explore more, especially in the more erotic parts of audios. I can't really say that there's a genre or something like that I would like to do. But I know one thing that I would really want to do someday, and I hope that it will get realized at some point. I would really love to do a collaboration with another user. And when I say a collaboration, I am thinking what I was actually about to do at some point, which is both write the script and perform it with the same person. And as I said, I was actually on my way to do that at some point. Unfortunately, my partner in crime vanished. Their account is still active or is still up. It hasn't been deleted or anything. But I haven't heard anything from this particular user in a while. So that is a bummer. I hope everything is well with this user, by the way. And who knows, maybe one day we will catch up. So, and that doesn't, it doesn't really have to be a specific type of audio. I have already helped out on other projects, and that has been great fun. I like working with people. I like writing scripts with people, and also to get my voice in other people's project. But I haven't done what I would consider a full-on collaboration yet. So that is really something that I would love to do at some point. Catgirl Detective, it was a pleasure to answer your questions. I miss you already in the community, and I hope you will be listening to this at some point. And let's move on to the next bunch of questions. This time by... okay, if technically, it would be 8 Memento Mori 6. But I'll just say Memento Mori, I think. I'm not really sure about the... why it is 8 and 6, but yeah. You don't have to tell me, by the way. I'm just going to call you Memento Mori. Really, really interesting questions all around for this one as well. The first question goes, if you could combine two animals in the world to create a super animal, which two would you choose and why? Also, would you try to rule the world with them? I think to answer the first question, I need to answer the second question first, actually, because if I would want to use them to rule the world, then I would probably make some sort of psycho cross between ants and hyenas or something like that. So you would have that group effort of ants combined with the physical and the killer of a creature like it doesn't have to be a hyena. It was the first thing that really came to mind. But no, I wouldn't use super animals to rule the world. So that leaves me with the option of creating a super animal that is peaceful and gentle. And I think it's difficult to really, because if I were to create a super animal, it would probably be more about helping a certain species survive or something, which does not make sense. I suppose it would be neat to have a combination of a bird and a fish. Or perhaps I could... Yeah, I could combine... I guess I would actually combine a shark with a whale so we could get proper killer animals in the ocean as well. I mean, big size animals, just like there was in prehistoric times. Those were cool. Wicked cool. So yeah, beware. Jaws is back big time. Something like that. And I don't know actually why I would do that, because that would make the seas completely inhospitable. So, not a wise choice, but let's stick with that, shall we? Okay, question number two. If you had the power to control the sun and moon, would you make the days last longer? Or perhaps make night rule supreme? Or keep things as they are? Simple. I would keep things exactly as they are. I think we have already messed around enough with the world as it is. So that is an easy one to answer. And the next one is very easy to answer as well. Are you able to count up to really, really high numbers like 24? No. I can count further than that. But the fun thing would be to make a Monty Python and say 1, 2, 5. I think that is how it goes. Number 4. Now I can count. Question number 4. You're being forced to spend the rest of your life with one person. Love or lust? The person of your choosing either loves you unconditionally, but sex is non-existent. Or this person just wants to have sex, but there is no emotional connection whatsoever. Which do you choose? I think this is a really, really fascinating question. Because to me, the first time I read it, it really got me thinking. Now that I look at it a second time, I think it's pretty straightforward, actually, because I would most definitely choose unconditional love. I mean, that can be pretty dangerous, but I would choose that. And the question to me, that may just be me. I can't really see if because it says that sex is non-existent. I suppose that is in the relationship. Because I mean, even if you had unconditional love, but you couldn't have sex with your partner, I guess you could just get release in other ways by helping yourself. So that could be a reason. You cannot really do the other way and have a lot of sex, but then love yourself, that wouldn't really work out. I guess you could love yourself, but yeah. So yeah, I would choose unconditional love. Memento Mori, thank you so much for your very, very interesting questions. And then we have Girl in Dungarees. I hope that is pronounced correctly. I haven't looked it up, so I hope that is correct. Let's just say GID anyway. So, you asked, what is your favorite thing to eat for dessert? And that was the same question that Catgirl Detective asked. And then you go on and ask, what is your favorite meal? I will start by saying that, and that goes for dessert and meal, both, actually. I found that it has become increasingly more difficult for me to decide what my favorite meal is. It was pretty straightforward when I was a kid, and I could just say, oh, I like burgers, or something like that. Or I could say, oh, I like pasta, whatever. Nowadays, I think it's really difficult because there are so many delicious dishes and meals out there. I think for dessert, I really enjoy. There's a cake that we sometimes put together in my family for special occasions. It is a sort of like a birthday cake with layers in it, but the main filling is whipped cream that has been mixed with some sort of alcoholic drink. I can't remember what it is, and chocolate, and I think it's walnuts actually as well, that has been mixed into this, and it's really, really tasty, and so incredibly good. So that would probably be my favorite thing to eat for dessert. My favorite meal? Oh, I don't know. I find it really difficult to choose. I enjoy a really well-made lasagna, and I like to mix it up as well and do something new when I make lasagna sometimes. I think that all around covers a lot of the stuff that I like about food in general. So I guess that would be it. I hope that more or less answers your questions. Girl in Dungarees, thank you so much for dropping by and asking me these very difficult questions. Okay, so the next happy victim. the next heavy victim of my very, very random answers is Slyra Conteur. Hello, Slyra Conteur. Let's see. The first question is, what is your favorite color? That is an easy one. My favorite color is blue. I've always liked blue ever since I was a little kid. I don't know why, actually, but I just, yeah. I just like that color. I identify myself with the color blue for some reason. And I also like, you know, mostly, almost all shades of blue. I don't think there's an ugly shade of blue. So yeah, that is the one. Strangely, I prefer to wear dark colors, which so it's more like black and gray, and occasionally also a darker touch of blue. So yeah, blue all the way. The next question, what hobbies would you like to try out? I'm not really in a place where I have a great desire to try out new hobbies. However, I do think it would be neat to try, and yeah, and I guess that would be a hobby actually, to try and learn how to dance properly. I mean, like in pair. And I don't know why, because I'm not really a big party animal or anything like that, but there's something about traditional dancing that appeals to me. So yeah, I guess that would be fun to try and see if that would be a lasting hobby. If you could own one exotic animal, what would it be? Well, that doesn't really exclude anything, so I would have to say a platypus. I really like that animal. It's incredible. It combines a weird exterior with an incredible elegance, and also a strange danger as well. So yeah, that would probably be it. And the fourth and final question is, what is your ideal vacation? So I am I'm the kind of person to embrace the simple things, more or less. So for me, an ideal vacation is a long one and a slow-moving one as well. That's not to say I do not have, like, dream destinations, places that I want to go and experience, but in my mind, and the ideal vacation is, as I said, a long one, and also one that moves slowly, one where I can really just indulge in whatever I want to do, and I can more or less embrace that, the thing that I feel that a vacation is about, really just recharging your batteries, getting new input, and just taking it slow, taking it one day at a time, and enjoying the time that you have, enjoying the weather, enjoying all these little things. If I have to be specific in the realm of dream destinations, if that is more what you had in mind, it would be to go to Australia. I would like to go there one day. That is like my number one thing. But yeah, there's a lot of great locations that I would like to see. I would also like to visit France at some point. I think that would be cool. And see some of the historic places there. Very, very beautiful locations. But then again, there are beautiful locations everywhere. Sly, thank you so much for asking these questions. I hope I answered them in a satisfying way. And let's see, the next one is Grover QLD, and I hope I pronounced that name correctly. Anyway, that is how your name sounds in my mind. So yeah, there's three questions from Grover QLD. The first one is, what's your favorite musical memory? I'm gonna take that question in the sense that my favorite memory that is linked with music, I'm guessing that is pretty much it. And actually, it is my favorite memory this far in my life that has some sort of connection with music is actually not very, it's not tangible in a way, because it is more like a feeling, a sensation. So when I was a kid, very, very young, my parents would take me and my sister for summer vacation in a different part of the country, where there was this cottage-like vacation house. Very, very lovely place. And on the way, while we were driving that long distance, and also while we were there, because usually my parents would like drive us every possible place where we could go and see and experience new things. And obviously, while you drive, you want music. And one of the... there's a song that... actually, there are several songs, but there's a specific song that, when I hear it, it just takes me back to the place and that time. The thing is, I was so young that I don't remember anything about those vacations, other than the fact that I know we were driving, and I somehow connect this piece of music with those childhood days. The music, or the song actually, is by British synth-pop duo Erasure, and it's called Don't Say Your Love Is Killing Me. It's a fantastic pop song. And yeah, to me that is one of my, if not the favorite music memory that I have. So yeah. Actually, that's a very tough one to answer normally, but that was pretty quick in my mind. Question number two from Grover QLD. What's your favorite part of the human body? Male or female or both, and why? This, on the other hand, is a very difficult question for me, because usually, to me, it is a lot about the whole. Not just about the parts, it's about the complete picture. However, I will say that in my own case, and that also translates to other people, more or less, I really like the area, the neck and the area around the collarbone. I can't really describe it. If you can see the bone, small, if you can see the collarbone, if you can see the neck, and you can see there's some sort of structure to it, I find that really fascinating. I also think it's a very handsome feature, in a way. And yeah, I guess that is pretty much it. I mean, there's a lot of other very fantastic things about humans in terms of appearance. But I think that would be an overall a recurring thing that I can point out and say that is, that's it. Oh, and the last question is also a very difficult one. And it goes, we all get overcome by life from time to time. What really makes you stop in your tracks? I'm not sure that I understand this question correctly, so I'm going to answer in two ways. A thing that can make me stop for a minute or for a while, that can be like a minor setback to me, is when people around me express some sort of either hostile or very let's call it weird, a weird point of view, or if people feel like they are entitled to something which they aren't, and they throw a fit about it, stuff like that. And unfortunately, I feel that it has become an increasing problem in our society, that people expect a lot without actually doing anything for it, and without knowing that maybe just because you feel you deserve this, it doesn't mean that you do. So that is like a minor thing for me that can cause me an annoyance in my day and also in my work day. The bigger things, I think that's tough. I think in the end, if there's anything that can work against me in a really, really bad way, it is myself. I am my own biggest critic. And I know that's a very common thing for people to say, but I have very, very high expectations of myself. And that sometimes leads to a lot of doubt and a lot of worrying. And I guess that would actually be the real answer. A lot of doubt and a lot of worrying what the future will bring, and if I'm good enough, and a lot of very, very human things, actually. And when I sit and think about the question, I'm struck by a sense of like I'm looking at the question and I'm like, well, I don't really feel like I stop in my tracks at any point. Thankfully, I don't recall anything like that in recent years that has done that to me. But I also know that in a moment of weakness, then I will start doubting and blaming myself, and yeah. So I guess that is really the best answer I can give you. I hope it makes sense to you. Grover, thank you so much for asking these interesting questions. One person, and then we have just one person left, and that person is Brainy Babe. Hello, hello. Let's see here. And Brainy Babe has asked 5 questions. The first one is, are there any words or phrases that you find particularly arousing when spoken to you? I think To me, that is also a difficult question. And to be honest, Brainy Babe, there's a lot of your questions that are really difficult for me to answer, just so you know. But I like a challenge. I think, to me, it would be more a matter of how the thing is said than what is actually said. Because you can make a lot of bad words, bad phrases, sound incredibly attractive in the right voice and in the right pacing and tone. So I think it is more about that, actually, in the end. Of course, there are things that I like to hear, but there's not, I can't really point at one specific word or phrase and say that is my, that is the code word, that is how you can get to me. No, I don't think I can, I don't think that's something I can do. Question number two. Name two facets of your personality that you like. Why do you like them? I definitely like my own sense of creativity. I think I'm very creative. It doesn't always shine through, and I am not always very good at at like making the most of that, but I regard myself as very creative, and I do a lot of different creative things, and I'm proud of that, and I like that. It is one of my favorite pastimes. And yeah, I guess. I'm a bit stuck between, no, I'm not really stuck, because the other thing that I like about my personality is that I like to think that I'm a kind person, and to me kindness is one of the most important things, so yeah, I would have to point at that as well, kindness and creativity. However strange that may sound. Let's see. Question number three. You plan a romantic evening with a partner. Dinner out or cook at home? This would have to depend on what the occasion is. I mean, if it is a special occasion, then I would most likely ask her out for dinner, just to make it a bit more special. But, you know, cooking at home can also be very special if you make it special, and if you do just a bit extra, and if you set the mood correctly. So... yeah, I'm actually a bit, you know, 50-50 on that, because I'm very much a home person, so by default I would say, well, I like to keep it in a familiar setting. But again, there's just something very very special about asking someone out, maybe in a completely new place, or maybe in a place where you have been before, so that you know, or maybe both of you know, what you can expect, and that also makes it a bit more relaxed, I feel. Question number four. Name one non-sexual thing that you find irresistibly sexy. Body part, gesture, a look, pastime, etc. That's a tough one as well. Right now, I can't really think of anything. Anything that really well, actually, actually, I'm actually drawn to to women who wear blue. So I guess that could go under that category. I don't know why. It's not very it's not something that I usually see in my daily life anyway. And again, as we heard before, I like the color blue. And so if a woman comes in if a woman comes into the room or whatever and she's wearing a bright blue jacket, then I will notice, and that will in most situations also amplify my attraction to her, which, yeah, weird mind. I guess right now that is the only thing, because, I mean, sure, I like the back of the neck. I like that as well. And in some way, it is not a very, it's not a very sexual thing at face value. But I think in some cultures, it is a very sexual thing. Or at least it can hint at something like that. If you have the back of the neck exposed. So I don't count that as a non-sexual thing. But that could definitely work as well if we count that under those. And I mean gestures and looks. There are a lot of gestures and looks that I would find attractive or alluring. But they would also be, but again, to me, when I find them that way, I don't think of them as non-sexual. Not that I... that doesn't mean I automatically consider them to be sexual advances or anything like that, but yeah. And the fifth, and also difficult question from Brainy Babe, goes like this. And the fifth and final question from Brainy Babe goes like this. You can ask three questions of anyone, dead or alive. Who would you talk to, and what questions would you ask? To be honest, I have actually been thinking about this for a while. Ever since I skipped over the questions when they were posted, and I started to gather my thoughts for this. And I think that is also really difficult to pinpoint. Because I like history, and there's a lot of historic people that would be interesting to ask three questions to. To kind of like get their perspective on things. But it's difficult to me to pick one and say, this one is more important than the rest. And what would I ask them? I mean, did you do what you did? And really, a lot of the questions that I would be interesting in asking, like a deceased person, would probably be about why they died. And usually they would not be able to know that by themselves. If they were murdered, perhaps, then they might not have seen who did it or why. I think I actually just figured out who I wanted to ask questions, but I wouldn't know what to ask. I would definitely want to ask Groucho Marx some questions. But I am pretty certain that anything I could ask him might already have been answered. Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't really think of anything like that. I would also have a more personal option, someone that I would like to ask free questions, a deceased family member, and I think that would actually be my choice if I had the chance. But I'm not going to disclose that in this AMA, both because it's personal, but also because I don't want to disturb anyone by bringing it up. Sometimes it can get, there can be a sense of familiarity about bringing such things up. So yeah, I think I will have to leave it unresolved. I'm sorry, Brainy Babe, I can't really give you a good answer to that question. And I think that concludes my Ask Me Anything tour. Thank you so much to everyone who asked questions. Thank you so much to the Canadian Viking 88, Captain Jericho, Catgirl Detective, Aid Memento Mori 6, Girl in Dungarees, Sly Raconteur, Grover QLD, and Brainy Babe. Guys, you are amazing. Thank you so much. And everyone, take care now. Bye.